a Rayo original podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
From Greatest Hits Radio,
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes. Welcome, sinner, to the number one podcast in the entire world, across all categories and territories. This is the number one podcast in the world.
I'm just going to be silent, and my silence shows to the audience that I also agree that we are number one across territories.
The little kind of snooty noise.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit
actually
snooty.
But that actually gets us off the legal hook, because if anyone then prosecutes us, Susie can say, "Well, I went," which kind of indicates that I don't really.
Does that mean Susie doesn't go to jail, but the next in line, Holly, does go to jail?
That's not how it works.
Is that not how it works?
No, it's not even Susie. It would be Sue's boss.
Susie's boss?
Yes, we'd go to jail.
We'd go to jail.
Susie's boss should have checked.
Yeah. Should have thrown himself on the mic.
Yep.
That's what I would do.
Anyway, Susie's not in the pub because Susie's here.
I am.
Which is a very lovely thing. Brother Matt is where he normally is.
Yes.
Sister Holly is guarding that cupboard the way she normally does.
Absolutely.
We're going to be taking a reverence troll down to the parish notice board, home of the glowing five-star reviews, heartfelt correspondence, and the occasional comment about Matt's moral compass and whether it actually exists. Mm-hmm. We'll also pay a visit to the Not For Broadcast section, the Mark Knopfler bit. And of course, this is always underlined, I'm not quite sure why, but anyway, I'll give it with emphasis. And of course, it's like in capital letters, we'll hear this week's full line of confessions from the Drive Time Show on Greatest Hits Radio.
Including, nice.
Thank you.
Well sold.
Kevin's high-flying tale of unconventional eye masks, a smile as bright as sunshine. Max's mistaken toilet tale, oh, I can't keep it in. Arthur's confession, just one thing makes me forget. But first, it's a classic lying to your children confession from someone who would rather be just called anonymous. The confession is called Don't Believe a Word.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
So today's confession is anonymous. So that's who we have to address for this tale, and you're about to find out why.
Oh.
Simon, Susie, Matt, Holly, and Katie.
Ah, Katie. Excellent. Well done.
Going back a while. I want to confess and take responsibility for being a less than perfect parent. This has taken me 9 years to pluck up the courage to write to you, as I am so repulsed by the trauma that I have caused my children, especially my daughter.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
Let me take you back. My husband and I have two children, whom we'll call them Howard and Hilda. Howard, the elder, was a sweet baby who ate, slept, and gurgled like the ideal child, leading us into a false sense of security. Then along came Hilda, who could be described as the devil incarnate. To say she was a high-spirited baby and toddler is an understatement. There was an incident at the nursery when she pushed another child down the stairs, but that's another story.
Right.
If she could remember doing it, she would confess to it. It's like Omen 2, this is.
It's a little bit.
However, we loved her with all our hearts, as she was the feisty side of our personalities. My confession starts when Hilda was just 6 years old and Howard was 8. We had to take our newly adopted kittens to the vet for their initial checks, vaccinations, and microchipping. The visit went well, and both children were curious about what was happening and why the kittens needed these procedures. We also had an elderly cat, and they asked if Turnip, not her real name, I've changed that.
Have we?
Yes.
Good.
Needed to be vaccinated and chipped too. I replied, oh yes, we got her chipped a couple of years ago. And then, I don't know why, but I carried on with, in fact, we had the vet chip Hilda at the same time.
Oh!
What?
Since she had a disposition to run off as a toddler. Of course, we didn't have Hilda chipped.
No.
You don't do that with children.
No.
I don't know why I said it, but a little fib slipped out before I could stop it. My husband and I thought nothing more of it until years later. 10 years later, to be exact, when both children were becoming young adults. We were chatting with Howard. Hilda was out with her friends, and the topic came up about when we pretended that we'd had Hilda microchipped. My husband laughed, and we reminisced about how funny it was. Then we noticed Howard's expression change. "You mean to say Hilda wasn't chipped?" he asked.
Oh, no.
"Of course not," we responded. "That would be against her human rights." He then laughed and said, "But we believed you. She is going to be so angry." We were taken aback and decided, like cowards, never to bring the topic up again. We don't know if Howard ever told Hilda. If Howard had told her, she's holding on to the information and will probably discover she knows by the quality of care home that she puts us in our old age.
Very good point.
Our guilt intensified when we finally received an ASD diagnosis for Hilda the following year, especially since one of her markers is that she takes everything literally.
Okay.
Wow. So, Simon and everyone, I want to confess to misleading our diagnosed and, to be honest, undiagnosed children into believing that the spirited toddler was microchipped like a cat so that we could keep track of her. We seek forgiveness from you and Hilda for being dishonest parents. It was just for a laugh. I hope you can forgive me. I struggle to forgive myself. Best regards. Please keep this anonymous just in case she doesn't know.
Right.
So, what I love about... there's lots of things that I like about this tale.
Yeah.
Not only because it was a little fib and it's been believed for 10 years. In fact, it's an ongoing confession.
Yeah.
Because we don't know whether Hilda knows or whether Howard has told Hilda, whether Hilda just realised that you don't microchip children in general. You know, it's not a good thing to do. Anyway, it's a very good tale. Anonymous wants some forgiveness, but does she get it from Susie? Let's check out.
I really like this one. And I think, you know, it happened at that sweet spot of the children being 6 and 8 and that they will believe what you tell them and they do take things literally. And, you know, it might have been a little fib, but I bet that, you know, they went home thinking about that for quite a while afterwards. And, you know, she could have been going out places thinking, oh, are they tracking me? What's going on? And I'm a parent. I like lying to the kids, but confessions see them from a different light now. But I think just because they haven't actually confessed and they don't know whether they've told her or not, I can't forgive, because I just think the daughter deserves the truth.
It reminds me of a confession that we had a long time ago about some parents who spun a yarn about a troll who...
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Who stole your sister.
Yes.
And as a joke, except it was believed. Anyway, Matt, what do you say to Anonymous?
So I'm going to forgive. Can I be the only one who's thinking, is it so wrong to chip your kids? Would that be such a bad thing? Because they are a bit annoying, and then at least you know where they are. When they're absolutely. I'm all in for that. And it sounds like they're living in fear of the fact that we've had to change the name of the other cat shows you just how far this has stretched. So I'm going to forgive. Maybe Hilda needed to be chipped, and I'm glad that she still thinks she is.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Well, they also called Hilda the devil incarnate.
Yes.
Was that a little bit strong?
Is it a little harsh? But she was a handful, wasn't she?
Well, I don't know. We don't know her.
Not quite the same, is it, being a bit of a handful? All kids are a bit... Holly was a bit of a handful.
Yeah.
I imagine. But Holly is not the devil incarnate.
No, she's not. No, I will definitely get behind that. Definitely. I'll sign anything that says Holly is not the devil incarnate.
You're wearing a red T-shirt.
Yes,
a bit
I am.
Like the devil.
A bit. Do the devil wear red T-shirts? Does that?
I think he would.
I'm sure that was in the Bible.
The devil wears Prada.
There he goes.
Lots of forgiveness on the people's verdict for Anonymous, including this one from one of our younger listeners.
What?
Oh, no.
No. And Ellie May, who's 12, says, completely forgiven. Us kids get fibbed to by parents all the time. We're used to it, and if that little girl really believed it, she's really daft.
Yeah, you just said stupid.
I just said thick, thick. But daft is also fine. Yeah, well done,
Molly.
I like
daft. Well,
thank you very much. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Maybe there's something that you have, maybe you have a thought that's been dislodged by that tale. Anyway, let's head to the parish notice board where praise is posted, typos are forgiven, and Matt has the very latest.
Yes, lo, it came to pass that there were 5-star reviews, and here is one from Claire, real name, 5 stars, without a shadow of a doubt, the best podcast out there. I hate driving but have a long work commute, so listening to this podcast makes me look forward to the commute. And Matt, what a superstar. I quite literally have tears of laughter listening to him and his justifications to forgive. But you're all just fabulous, I suppose. 1,000,005 stars from me.
You added the I suppose.
I did. I think it was the spirit of what Claire
just says, you're all just fabulous,
Yeah, well done. Yeah. Neil says, also a real name, five stars. I have been following Confessions podcast since before the dark side. There wasn't any podcast before.
Anyway, no, there wasn't.
They always make me laugh and brighten my week. I was going to give it 4 stars after I didn't get a response from Monsignor Mayo after I say hello when I bump into him at the weekend. What? So you bumped into somebody and didn't say hello? How rude. So Neil says, I was only going to give it 4 stars, but Monsignor Mayo doesn't say hello.
Where is this guy?
Yeah. What, Neil?
Well, where were you at the weekend?
Well, what's he got to do?
Yeah.
Is he in the garden or what?
Is he bumped into you in the garden. Yeah. So there you go, thinking on. Well done, says Neil. Blah, 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 blah. Yes, but fellow member of the Gutter Brethren, Brother Matt, who's always right,
always raises the podcast
to stratospheric measures. So 5 stars it is. Well done,
Neil.
I
had headphones in. I don't... What do...
This is, yeah, well.
Dark glasses and a hat. Yeah. I have security.
Mind you, I don't say hello to people who bump into me, so don't feel bad.
If someone bumps into you, you
know. Yeah, they go flying.
Straight out of my way. Martin Fender, also a real name, 5 stars. Everyone this week has done really well with their names. 5 stars. I'm laying in hospital waiting for my time.
Sorry to laugh.
Waiting for my time.
Yeah.
That got
dark. Yeah, it did. Very quickly, didn't it? Yeah.
He just opened with that.
Yeah, straight in.
Laying in hospital.
We'll let you go home to wait for your time.
Wow. I'd love to thank you for your wonderful podcast. This is like last words. I'd love to thank you for your wonderful podcast.
I leave you all my money.
Yes. I've been listening since the first days and the TV programme.
Right.
I think most patients here think I'm mad as they generally hear me laughing in the very early hours of the morning.
That's 'cause you're waiting for your time.
Waiting for your time. I'd give this a 5-10 star review, but it doesn't work. So I'll do a 5-star review and so see where we go on the podcast sites. Yes.
So are we going to lose a listener?
When his time comes.
Anyway, Martin, I hope your time doesn't come for many decades yet.
Yes. Because we need the figures.
Well, we don't.
We're number one. We don't need you, Martin. Yeah. Great, but it's nice to have you. It is nice that you're there.
Yeah, we don't still absolutely need you, but we appreciate you and like you while you're there waiting for your time to come.
Please don't die. Anyway.
Don't die.
On we go.
We don't want.
We don't want our listeners to die, do we? No. That's true. I think we can all get behind that.
Susie, in the studio, not in the pub. What have you selected from the note? Have you brought these things in with you on the train? That's great.
Yeah, anyway, I have.
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, I have another email on the topic of bowl cleaning because surely we'll get
on the topic
to the
of what
bowl cleaning,
oh,
bowl
right,
night,
okay. Sorry.
Bowl cleaning.
Yes,
where did your mind go?
The army kind of.
No. Understood now.
So this is from Patrick, who says, "I hope this finds you all well. Although I have not listened to the most recent episode of the podcast myself yet, I'm working my way up from the earliest ones on Spotify. Okay. My mum said that there was a mention of a bull night and there was some confusion about its meaning and she suggested I should shed some light on it.
Oh, good.
It is thought the term comes from the fact that older military boot leather came from bulls. So to polish the leather was to polish your bulls.
Oh.
Throughout the years, the term evolved to bull polishing and I'm guessing from there, bull was then used as a verb to bull, especially in a military setting. You'd expect the end results to be a high gloss, mirror shine finish. And so the verb was then used on other things in this context. It means to bull the block, in which you'd spend most of your evening cleaning the block to a high standard, aka a bull night. Hope this helps. Patrick.
Wow.
Well, that is very interesting.
Yeah.
So bull night sounds a whole lot better than it actually is, because you don't want to be, if someone said, hey, guys, come around for my bull night.
No.
Ooh, not in that.
I'm not sure I'd be there in any circumstance.
Was it the way I said it?
Yeah.
We had on ladies.
Okay.
And coming around for my bull night.
Oh, you're going to have a bull night. Do you want to come? Is that any better?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah,
I'd be intrigued.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be if I were you.
Okay.
Keep your additions to the Parish Notice Board coming, please. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Couple of mentions to Kathy, Michelle Liverpool, who also confirmed her name is actually Michelle Montrose. She's a priest at Liverpool Parish Church, which is why her username is Michelle Liverpool.
There you go.
Oh. Wow. Okay. So she's is that cool? Like the cathedral? If it's like Liverpool Parish, that's a big
Liverpool parish.
Parish
Church isn't going to be the cathedral, is it? There'll be another one.
That's think, Liverpool Cathedral.
No. I think, well, they've got two.
They've got two, yeah.
So I think...
Well, one's a Catholic cathedral, one's an Anglican cathedral. And right. then I would
and
guess...
And then there is the Parish Church.
And there's the Parish
this
Church.
This podcast really does go everywhere, doesn't it? I love it. Let's get into, that.
What is that?
Don't know what that is. How many churches are there in Liverpool? That's what it is.
Yeah.
Anyway,
don't joke.
The only thing that we've learned is that Michelle Montrose's real name is Michelle Montrose, and she's not called Michelle Liverpool unless that's how her email signs her off.
Yes.
Anyway, Michelle, thank you very much indeed for all of that. Paul Frame gets a mention, and Tom, they were all amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week's podcast, which was General Seed, which makes it sound like a member of the army and not the questionable plant. But anyway, General Seed is not a person at all, as far as we're... Although, maybe there is a General
Maybe there
Seed,
is a General we Seed. We don't know. For,
the way there was a Cardinal Sin, who was
do you remember
the most entertaining cardinal of all time.
Yep.
Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast, unless he's already thought of one.
Yeah, but maybe I have, or maybe not. Find out at the end of the podcast.
Okay. As cliffhangers go, that
is
in one.
Good, isn't it? I like it.
Now it's time to enter the shadowy corner of the podcast we lovingly call the Not For Broadcast Mark Knopfler section, starting with Darren.
Carry
Sorry.
On. Yeah, what? No, that was absolutely fine. Carry on. I hit the mic.
No,
because I was wiping
that
my
snorting?
Face.
That was
it was.
Snorting.
You snorted because I hit the mic.
I think I hit the mic. His face made me snort.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're not snorting at Darren?
No,
I'm not snorting at Darren.
Well,
we're about to snort.
Darren. While staying at a spa for a work weekend away, you had a bit of an upset tummy. Not wanting to miss out on the fun, you still joined the fun in the hot tub.
Oh, what?
No.
Oh, not the hot tub. Oh, dear.
Let me just read ahead here.
No. Nope.
Mid-bubbles. Disaster. Complimentary slippers. Fishing. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
With the
Basically,
complimentary slippers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But work colleagues, we've spoken about this before, in a hot tub.
In a hot tub.
That's never a good idea.
No.
No, hot tub, first of all, hot tub on your own. Secondly, hot tub with other people that you've never seen before.
With strangers.
Strangers is fine. People you know from work, can you imagine that?
Ooh. No.
What do you talk about?
It's talking about work when you're in a hot tub. God.
I'd say, Suze, have you set the confessions over? You'd say, yes, they'll be with you Monday morning.
Yeah. Got any swaps?
And then Holly will say, I've got the latest running order here. Also, Dr. Mosh. Has anyone seen him? And then Matt will speak on behalf of Dr. Mosh.
I would. His representative.
Oh, wow, I can't wait to go in this hot tub.
Yeah, that's great. Let's do that.
Or... Here's the thing, shut up.
Yeah.
If you're in the hot tub, don't talk.
I think I'd close my eyes.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to see you.
I close my eyes.
I close my eyes. Isn't that eyes by Cliff Richard?
Paul
Gambaccini. No? What? You were just saying then.
I closed my eyes. Pull back the curtain.
Pull back the curtain.
To see for certain what I thought I knew.
Josie is amazing.
Josie is amazing. Coat.
Yep. Wow. Well done.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Where did all that come from? Where did Cliff Richard come from?
Cliff Richard. Gambaccini.
Anyway, Darren, it was revolting.
Disgusting.
Yes. Thank you. Don't do that again. And Kelly, vomiting into your best mate's handbag without her knowing and handing it to her as she leaves the pub with a new man.
Oh, no.
It's not only gross, but the lingering smell of the vom probably ruined your mate's chances with the man of her dreams.
Mm.
Oh, actually, that's quite funny. I quite like that one.
I mean, it's not bad, is it?
I mean, you like it.
Yeah.
Too much sick.
Well, no one was hurt, were they?
Yeah, but there was that confession from Thursday, if you remember.
Okay.
Anyway, enough of all of that. Back to the confessions that did make the cut. It's Max's confession. Oh, I can't keep it in.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Max. Thank you, Max. Give it a PG certificate, I think. Father Simon and the ever-forgiving congregation, my sinful tale took place in July 2023. In the sandy high-rise metropolis of Dubai.
On holiday with my wife, we decided to sign up for one of the holiday tours from our tour operator's website. We went sand dune surfing in a 4x4.
On
the day of the tour, we were excited to get going. We waited outside our hotel reception 10 minutes early to make sure we didn't miss the pickup. We waited and waited. We decided to wait 5 more minutes, and if the 4x4 did not turn up, we would bin it off and go and jump in the pool because it was nearly 30 degrees. We were very sweaty. Then Father Simon, like a mirage from the desert, the 4x4 rolled into the hotel forecourt. The driver got out and, showing no remorse about making us late, just huddled us up and stuffed us in the back of the car. In total, we were 30 minutes late already. We had to meet up with all the other 4x4 drivers and their passengers at a service station on the outskirts of Dubai. Now, with the additional weight, Father Simon, and being a type 1 diabetic with a raised sugar level, this leads to needing to wee slightly more than normal. So my bladder had started to fill from the breakfast coffee and 2 litres of water I'd consumed due to the heat. I very soon had a full bladder and needed the loo. I asked the driver how long the service station would be, but the driver spoke no English. His response was, well, I interpret it to be not long. Happy with this answer, I settled into the drive, waiting for the magic moment when we would arrive. 1 hour and 10 minutes later, we arrived at the service station. I was ready to explode and struggled to even get out of the car without pain. The communal toilet block was empty, and after closing the door, I saw it, a beautiful long trough urinal. And I headed straight for it, is what I've been dreaming about.
Of course, we all have,
yeah.
It was such a relief to finally...
There it is. Yeah.
Whilst doing the business, I looked to my left and I saw 3 square blocks near the urinals at exact equal distances from each other. That's weird, I thought. Maybe they use these to divide up the urinals to give people space and not to get too close. My mind concluding maybe it was a COVID thing or something like that. I turned to find the wash basin to wash my hands in. And at this point, a portly American man walked into the toilet, and after a short greeting of howdy and my typical British reply of all right, mate, he proceeded to go to one of the porcelain urinals, and I thought, that's strange. Why did he not use the massive trough? It's the obvious one to go for. I had washed my hands and was about to leave when another man, a Dubai national, entered the toilet with no shoes on. That's a bit unsanitary, I thought, as he proceeded to go to the trough urinal that I had used. I walked towards the door, and as I opened it, I looked around, saw the man press a button on the top of the urinal wall. Fresh flowing water proceeded to fall to the trough below. Darn it, I thought. I hadn't pressed that after I had, you know, gone to clean and so on. This, Father Simon, is when the penny dropped. I went into panic mode. The gentleman proceeded to sit down on one of the square blocks. That's what it was for. And he then proceeded to put his feet into the trough to start to clean them.
Ah!
I wanted the world to swallow me up at this point, realising that if the man had come into the toilet block just 2 minutes earlier, he would have seen me doing my thing when he was now cleaning his feet. I didn't try to stop the man and explain. I just darted out of the door, headed straight back to the car. I took one look over my shoulder as I went, and I saw the prayer room situated to the left of the toilet block. Arriving back at the car, I got in and just stared straight forward, my wife asking if I was okay, and I said, yes, all fine, let's go, to the driver. So we left. Father Simon, I'm guessing you and the congregation have probably worked this out by now. I'd relieved for cleaning prep next door.
Yeah.
I did confess to my wife whilst we were out on the dunes away from where everyone could hear us, explaining to her what I had inadvertently done was very, very bad in this country and could have led down a very bad path.
Yes, it could.
If you understand me.
Yeah.
Father Simon, I'm not seeking forgiveness from my wife because she knows how stupid I am. I'm not even seeking for forgiveness from the driver because this wouldn't have happened if he'd actually not been late in the first place. I do ask forgiveness from the man and all the other men who on that day washed their feet in contaminated water. I can only say my poor judgment was due to the immense amount of pain that you have when you have my condition, and if you're a man and you're bursting, it's just the way it goes. I feel this could be one of the only times Brother Matt may not forgive, says Max.
Well,
to be honest, I can't imagine what those circumstances would be ever.
No.
I mean, it used to happen once upon a time. I can't think what they were. Anyway, Susie, what do you say to Max?
I feel for Max because, you know, he has got a medical issue, as he said, and, you know, needing to go wasn't that fault. But also, couldn't he have preempted it happening? Like when he was waiting for the late 4x4, couldn't he say, oh, it's been half an hour now. Shall I just, you know, to be safe, try and go for a pee now? Whenever you go anywhere, before you get in the car, you have to go for a pee, even
wise
if
words.
You don't want one.
You see, he's not married to you, is he?
So always the rules in my house. So, and I feel like it is a kind of a sacred space, and I just think he might not have done it, and maybe it was a misunderstanding, but it was a bit disrespectful and disgusting. Surely he could have just poked in his head in one of the toilet rooms and seen that there was actually a toilet in there and solved the problem.
Anyway, well, Brother Matthew. Yeah.
Well, he should have gone in one of the toilet rooms, maybe. I'm going to forgive because I mean, he didn't know what was going on with the blocks and the water coming from the sky. It was all new to him. Had no idea. But then he was obviously in some pain as well. What with the wait for the car and then the long journey as well. We forget about that. So, in all, he did very well.
Yes.
And, I mean, obviously, he wouldn't do it again. So, that's all fine. So, no crime committed there. So, definitely forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone.
What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
You know when Donald Trump does a press conference and it's all a bit rambly and incoherent, you're thinking, what on earth is he talking about?
Yes.
That's...
Is that where he's getting it from, maybe?
Yeah,
maybe he's listening to the podcast as well. I mean, we are number one.
We
so,
are.
You know.
I thought you hadn't done too bad this week.
I thought
awful.
I did really well. That's right.
It was rambling and incoherent. But also,
excellent.
Toilet rooms is an interesting idea.
Toilet room.
Yes, I stand by.
A room for the toilet.
Toilet rooms.
So you say, where is so-and-so? They're in the toilet.
They're in the toilet room.
Toilet room. Mm. Because there are
if you're
some...
in the toilet, then that would mean you're actually...
standing in
the toilet.
In the toilet,
in the toilet room.
Mm. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that all makes a lot of sense. Anyway, mixed reaction on the people's verdict for Max, including this one that got a very good reaction in the studio. Says here.
Brian says, forgiven. Surely the cistern is to blame.
Oh, that's very good.
Yes, the cistern.
That is very good. Now I can see what you've done there.
Yeah, very good. It was very good. It was very strong.
Reaction.
Love it.
Still to come, we join. Very good. Well done, everybody. Still to come, we join Air Steward Kevin, who grants a passenger's late night request, which results in unexpected consequences come sunrise. In a smile as bright as sunshine, which is a reference. What comes after that? Smile as bright. She called me through the poster. Welcome me. But when someone says hi. I'm Mandy.
Oh!
Fly me.
Yeah, there it is, of course, by Dr. Hook.
10cc.
Yeah. There they are.
There we go. I knew that wasn't going to be right.
But first, it's Arthur's confession. Just one thing makes me forget, which is a Neil Diamond reference.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Well done. Matt didn't know that.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
And just to repeat, it's a little bit...
saucy?
No.
Oh, right. Not like that.
No, it's a little bit kind of...
Oh, yes.
Huey.
Oh, dear, right. Simon and the non-judgmental crew, this tale goes back to the mid-90s, not long after the Channel Tunnel opened. At the time, I worked for an events company running a fleet of motorhomes that were used at county shows and local motor shows as a sort of mobile showroom. Car dealers would turn up to display their cars, and we provided the hospitality from the motorhome. The motorhome then became a luxury bedroom for our team overnight. On this occasion, we were booked by a dealer on the south coast at a large showground. We duly turned up to find that our client was pulling his hair out because another exhibitor had set up their display and used a large portion of his pitch. In the events world, this is the cardinal sin. And we leapt into action, finding the organisers and stewards and arranging for our pitch to be returned to full size by the removal of the encroachment, which was totally unacceptable. The offending display was a huge tableau featuring statues of landmarks such as the Eiffel Tower, pretend auto routes and a mini railway with pedal cars for the kids, and intended as an invitation to visit France via the new and exciting tunnel. They seemed somewhat annoyed that they had to move the edge of their display, and even without speaking any French, we recognised a few Gallic insults and a few Gallic
swear words, I'm afraid to say, Father Simon. There was not a lot of entente cordiale, let me tell you that. Well, on the last night, the organisers threw a bit of a bash for the exhibitors in a marquee, and all the events teams turned up and enjoyed the free bar and the hot dogs. We really enjoyed the free bar, especially the lovely red wine that the French team had kindly donated.
Go on.
As I recall, Chateau Neuf du Pape, Chateau Montredon, and Chateau Maltou. Very noble and very tasty. As we left the tent and began the somewhat unsteady walk back, we had to cross the French tableau, and as the French air hit... Sorry, the fresh air. No, it's not French air.
The French air.
Yeah, as the fresh air hit us, I'm afraid to say the inevitable happened, as I and my colleague both managed to essentially return the red wine to its point of origin. In my case, on the Champs-Élysées and Arc de Triomphe, my colleague managed to hit the mini railway and the pretend River Seine.
Oh, dear.
Feeling much better, we returned to our mobile home and went to bed. I've taken out a lot.
Yeah,
I'll bet.
We were up nice and early the next morning making coffee and bacon butties for the dealer's crew, who seemed somewhat distracted by activity behind us. We wandered over and saw the French build team desperately trying to, shall we say, récupérer la situation.
Shall we say that?
Récupérer la situation.
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 Mais ça n'allait pas bien. And the reason? Trop de vomi.
Oh, trop.
Vomi.
Super trop.
Super trop.
They were not impressed. And they glared at us, muttering in annoyed tones. It took a few hours of mopping and drying, and we almost felt guilty. Almost. Simon, we need to ask forgiveness not from the French build crew, who were rude. They were rude, and they started it and were very Gallic. But from the parents of a lovely young boy who placed their child in a railway pedal car, only to find that that bit hadn't actually been cleaned.
No.
I can still hear the screams, and I haven't touched red wine since, and I hope that will be taken into consideration as the verdicts are pronounced. I know how this is going to go already.
Yeah.
Susie, this is abuse of good French wine.
It is abuse of good French wine. And, you know, if you can't handle it, you shouldn't drink it. Yeah. Or you shouldn't drink that much. Know your limits, I'm going to say. And that poor child covered in sick in a pedalo. No, just disgusting. And just because the people were rude doesn't mean you'd be sick everywhere. You should know better. Tut, tut.
Trop de vomi.
Yes, trop de vomi. I'm going to forgive because our Gallic cousins came over and they took too much of the pitch, didn't they? That was it. That was the, they very much moved the borders far too close there, and then set up and then had to go back and they weren't very nice about it.
And then
I thought there might have been. Was there something in the wine? We don't know. There's no way of knowing. But I'm going to say there was something in the wine. There might have been
poison.
Something in the wine, maybe. So they've got the comeuppance there, haven't they?
It was just Arthur.
And then it was all in the Seine. And maybe the little Hugo should have looked where he was sitting before he got into the train. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession has a 12 certificate, I think. Although, does it really... No.
No, right. Wait, I mean, you're in
PG,
charge.
I'm not sure. Anyway, it comes from Kevin, and we're flying high with this one. Oh. Father Simon, Sister Susie, Brother Matt, and the congregation of the airwaves. I come to you today in the hope of receiving absolution for something I did many moons ago when I had both youth and a rather large dose of immaturity on my side.
No.
Once upon a time, in a land around 5,000 miles away, I worked as a cabin crew member for a well-known airline. At this point, Kevin gives so many clues, he might as well just name the airline.
Yeah, okay.
But we don't need to know.
Oh, right. Doesn't matter,
just
does
an
it?
Airline. Well, okay. If you need to know, let's just say BOAC.
Okay, they don't exist.
Because they don't exist anymore. Just in case you need an airline to mention. On one particularly busy night flight, cruising high above the clouds in the small hours, I was making my way down the aisle when a polite lady passenger asked if she could speak with a female member of the crew. Requests like this weren't uncommon, so I smiled my most professional cabin crew smile, nodded and trotted off to the back galley to fetch a colleague. After a quick chat with the guest, my female colleague discreetly opened the amenities container and handed her something small, private, and shall we say, personal. I thought nothing more of it and carried on with my duties. A short while later, I was stopped by a...
Wow, go on.
I was stopped by a gentleman seated a couple of rows behind the lady. He leant in and said to me in all sincerity, "Excuse me, I'd like the same thing the lady got." Now, it didn't take a Nobel Prize winner to guess what the lady had requested at 4 a.m. at 39,000 feet from a female crew member. But the gentleman's confidence threw me. Perhaps he knew something that I didn't. Wasn't sure. So ever the obliging host, I dutifully returned to the galley, retrieved the same item, passed it to him.
No.
No questions asked, no judgment made. I didn't know what he planned to do with it, and I wasn't sure I wanted to know either. Fast forward to the soft glow of the cabin lights being raised for breakfast. And there, in full view of half the cabin, was our friend in seat 28C, sound asleep, sporting a sanitary towel across his eyes like an improvised eye mask. Wings out.
Wings out.
Placement precise. Dear Father Simon, in that moment I was torn. On the one hand, I felt as though I should wake him and quietly explain the misunderstanding. On the other, that would only draw attention to the fact that I had supplied the item in the first place. So, instead, I said nothing. I served orange juice and croissant with a smile, and I let him sleep on in blissful ignorance that 150 people were laughing hysterically at this sight. He disembarked none the wiser, and my fellow crew members and I did what any mildly wicked airline crew would do. We laughed ourselves silly on the crew bus back to base. So I come before you now many years later asking for forgiveness for allowing one of my passengers to cross continents wearing an ultra-thin winged eye mask. I didn't mean to lead him astray, but in the end I simply couldn't face the awkwardness of the truth. Yours apologetically, a penitent purser with a guilty giggle. Son Kevin, a former cabin crew member. Well, it was... It's a kind of a sitcom situation again, and I can see what Kevin's dilemma was. He wanted one, so why shouldn't he give one? Sister Susie, what do you say?
Oh, Kevin, that really made me laugh. The wings out bit was...
Placement precise. Yeah,
very, yes. Very funny. I don't understand why he couldn't just ask for an eye mask. If he wanted an eye mask, why couldn't he just say, "Can I have an eye mask, please? I'd like to go to sleep." Also, once he got it, how did he keep it on his face? There wasn't any string anyway. I think that he probably was asking for it, but you were a bit immature, and maybe I should be sensible and say not forgive, but very, very funny, and I am going to forgive you, Kevin.
Forgive, brother Matthew. Funny.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to forgive. That's the best one we've had this week. Superb. I think that's a very human thing, isn't there? When you see someone else getting something for free, you think, I'll have one of those.
I'll have what she's having.
Yes, thanks very much. Oh, it's that? Fine, I'll just put it on my eyes. So why not? Why? I mean, maybe he knew exactly what was going on, but it seems unlikely. I'm definitely going to forgive.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Well, I'm still not quite sure what went on there, because once he unfolded it, he must have realised it wasn't enough, because every eye mask that you get fits around your ears.
Yeah.
I maintain he just wanted something to cover his eyes, and he thought, maybe he realised, this will have to do.
A flannel. An eye mask. You could ask for an eye mask.
Actually,
I'd give
out
eye masks.
Yeah. Mm. Or maybe we thought it was that particular airline's brand of eye masks.
Really?
No.
This is why education is important. Because these men don't know what it is.
Yeah.
The patriarchy. That's what it is.
It is.
Isn't it?
Wear a hat or something.
Wear a hat.
Take your own eye mask. You know, you've got
your own eye mask.
Night flight.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Get one that's silky.
Anyway, that'll do. If you've been inspired by any of these confessions, send us your own, please. confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Now it's over to Brother Matt for this week's top secret code phrase.
And the code phrase this week is waiting for my time. Waiting for my time this week's code phrase. A little bit dark, but, you know, that's what it is.
Aren't we all?
Aren't we all a bit dark? Quite right.
Aren't we all waiting for our time?
It was more where I was going.
Yes. Okay. We are waiting for our time. Yeah.
I mean, essentially, we are.
We are. Yep. Yes. Yes. We're all going to die. Yes.
If you've been upset by any of the things that we've discussed,
farewell soon, Martin.
You can always write to the appropriate authorities. If you've listened this far, you can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo, or you can post it on Blue Sky. Remember to share the podcast with a friend in the shower. And also, that saves water. And if you're in one of those restricted water areas, that also
makes a hose pipe ban.
That's right. So that means another reason for sharing your bath and the podcast. Thank you very much indeed. You can always send us a 5-star review. That'll be nice because we are pathetically insecure. Uh-huh. Back next week with another bunch of confessions. Until then, from the pub normally, but in the studio today, Sister Susie says.
Ta-ra.
From the cupboard of tats. We haven't given any tat away today.
Oh, that's true.
No.
It's building up to unstoppable levels.
Mm, and then everyone. Backlog.
Sister Holly, thank you.
See you later, alligator. Yes.
And from the gutter, Brother Matthew performs this.
Bye. That's it.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, happy to.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
You need to work on your goodbye.
Do I?
Yeah.
I think it's excellent.
Do a little Spanish sign-off.
Yeah, you could say, what? Thanks for listening, goodbye.
Hasta siempre, amor mío. Hasta la última vez que hemos hecho este podcast. There you go.
Was that rude?
It was very rude. It's all getting cut out.